Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford. We'd like to welcome you again today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries. We always welcome you in Christ our Lord. Truly, He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Aren't you glad Jesus Christ gave himself for us that we might have life and have it more abundantly? Well, as you know, we're still in the process of relocating, tearing down the studio, moving. And again, today is a pre-recorded program. But you'll never know the difference because you're going to sense the anointing of the Holy Ghost and a message I'm going to bring simply entitled A Perverted Gospel. One of the greatest tragedies that's pervaded and permeated the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is the perversion of the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus. Men have corrupted the Word of God as never before. 2 Corinthians 2:17, Paul said, for we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. We are not as many. Paul was already witnessing, already beholding many that were corrupting the word of God. Now, let me say this. I'm going to make some of you mad when I say this. It's because they were trying to continue to preach the Mosaic law. They're corrupting the gospel of Christ. They're corrupting the gospel of Christ. That's what the whole book of Galatians is about. They're trying to continue to live under the law, though Jesus brought in a new covenant. Thus Paul says in Galatians 1:11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion. The Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. He wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Though Paul was tutored, nurtured by the doctor Gamaliel, history records that Gamaliel was 35th in line from Mount Sinai to receive the law directly, Moses being the first. Gamaliel was the 35th. That was who Paul was taught and nurtured and tutored by. But notice what he says. The gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Many of the things I share with you, I wasn't taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. I was taught the pre-tribulation rapture was true. But after a 40-day fast, the revelation of Jesus Christ made it clear to me. That's heresy, that's fallacy. I could go on and on and on. So the perverted gospel is anything that's not Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I don't care what it is. It's not Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Before we go into the message today, I want to play an old gospel hymn. I pray Tabitha, her last name slips my mind, but I pray that Tabitha, as she ministers the word of God to you in song, will touch your heart and life in a very, very, very special way today.
Oh,
Isn't it great to know that God is coming back? That's the hope. That's the hope of the church. Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Christ Jesus. That's the hope you and I possess in Jesus. If we didn't have that hope, we'd be as Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. In other words, if all we as Christians have is hope in Jesus in this world, my time frame, your time frame, your 60, 70, 80, 90 years, however long we live, if that's all the hope we have in Christ, we're all men most miserable. But because Christ has risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that have slept in the grave, we have a blessed hope. So if we die, we go by the way of the grave, just like last night when I went to sleep, I knew nothing. As a matter of fact, my wife told me this morning, she said, you were sleeping so hard, I was rubbing your brow, and you never even awakened. Because I'm tired physically, trying to move. I'm an independent guy. I don't ask for help. Maybe I should humble myself and be more willing to ask for help. But country boys don't ask for help till they really, really, really need it. Then they'll say, would you help me, please, sir? And I'm glad that I was raised like that. And I want a handout. I want to earn what I get. Because he told Adam, you will now live by the sweat of your brow. The ground will not bring forth, Adam, like it used to bring forth. You'll toil. It'll be more difficult. And it has been difficult for all of us. But that doesn't bother me. Because this life is temporal. And it will soon fade away. And there'll be a new kingdom. A new heaven and a new earth. That's the blessed hope for the blood-bought children of the Most High God. I want to take you now into a Spirit-filled service where I'm bringing a message I preached nearly 4 years or better ago entitled, A Perverted Gospel. I pray this message of a perverted gospel will speak volumes to your heart and to your life as well.
He is faithful, amen. His word is faithful. His word never fails. Always true. Amen. If you have your Bibles, look with me again to Galatians chapter 1. I want to pick up the message I began 2 weeks ago here on the perverted gospel. You know, when you pray and when you seek God and you stay in God's word, there remains an element of conviction in your walk with God. Now, I know we've lost conviction in the nominal church today. The church is not what the church one time was. When people really were on fire for God, they had a heart for God. Amen? They had an intensity. You don't see that intensity today, and we're using every kind of silly program, every silly gimmick to try to get the church to grow. Why don't we get the Holy Ghost? Amen? Get the Holy Ghost and God will do something. Amen? Gimmicks, charlatans, hucksters have never done one thing for the church except injure and harm its integrity. Amen? Galatians chapter 1, beginning at verse 6. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another or different gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. That word pervert there means to corrupt. There are those, Paul said, that would corrupt the gospel of Christ. But I'm so glad I heard the truth first. Now when I hear a corrupt version, a perverted version, I understand it's wrong because I've heard the truth. As a matter of fact, the perpetuity of the truth lives in me, the Holy Ghost. John 16:13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. That's the office of the Holy Ghost, amen? We need more of the Holy Ghost in our lives. Let's pray and invoke his blessings upon the service. Father, we love you today, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for your bountiful blessings. Father, I thank you today for your word that is so holy, so pure, and so true. Father, I ask you today to anoint me with the Holy Ghost to expound the word of the living God, that your word would find residence in every heart and every mind and every spirit, I pray. Father, I pray that the word of God would arise and the enemies be scattered abroad, that the Holy Ghost would have preeminence in this house. And Father, we'll give you the praise for it all. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. And everyone said, amen. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them you're glad you know the truth this morning. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus. I want to pick back up again on the thought, the perverted gospel. The perverted gospel. When something has become converted or perverted, it becomes corrupt. Its integrity, its character has been profusely and profoundly demeaned, amen. And you see, Satan didn't waste much time. Paul wrote this epistle somewhere about 60 A.D. Thus, the devil didn't waste much time in trying to get into the church and trying to corrupt the gospel of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. But Paul used the term, I marvel that you are so soon quickly removed from the gospel of Christ. When he said he marveled, he was somewhat amazed. He looked on with great intent. He looked on with great purpose and said, I marvel that you are so soon quickly removed from this gospel, the saving gospel of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. I've often watched and observed people who become newly converted to Christ. They have such a great zeal. They have such a great zest after they receive salvation. Most of them go and find them a very beautiful Bible, and they want to become studious in studying the Word of God. They want to know more about God. But somewhere along the way, Satan comes and tries to distort their initial understanding of the gospel of Christ. That's exactly what the devil did to the Galatians. He came along and tried to distort what Jesus Christ did at a place called Calvary. As I preached to you 2 weeks ago, how that Satan has birthed these hucksters, these imposters who come along. And they come along for the purpose of manipulating and deceiving you, causing you to be removed from the place, the position, and the spiritual posture that you have in Christ Jesus. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:14, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed into the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Paul describes Satan's ministers, Satan's emissaries, Satan's minions, Satan's false prophets and false teachers. He says they are of him, Lucifer. They're not of God. And their purpose is to distort and to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every child of God will be tested and tried to depart from the faith and from the word of Almighty God. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared as with a hot iron. Paul said that they would come. The Holy Ghost is speaking right now through the Word and through your pastor, telling you that in the last days, the last times, men shall depart from the faith and give heed to a perverted gospel of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. It's not the gospel. It's not the truth. It's nothing but a lie, and it was birthed in the corridors of hell. Amen. I've never seen such a time when people don't have a fundamental foundation of the Word of God in their lives. Amen. These hucksters, they merchandise the people of God. As I shared with you in the last message, how in Isaiah 1 and 22, Isaiah said, "Thy silver is become dross, thy wine is mixed with water." They put water in the wine to pollute it, adulterate it, and destroy its effect. Amen. Why? For profit and for gain. That's what they do to the Word of God today. They add a little here, and they take away a little there. And when they get through, it's a perverted gospel. But I want to tell you, I thank God for the truth, the whole truth. Nothing but the truth, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. We need to get back to the Word, and let the Word get back into us. Amen. Satan is a thief. He comes to steal the Word of God from your heart. Why has Satan birthed these hucksters? Why has he brought forth these imposters? Their objective is in preaching a perversion. And this perversion is to remove you from Jesus Christ. David said in Psalm 16, verse 8, "I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved." Can I tell you? Satan is trying to move you. I was sitting in my office Thursday writing May's newsletter. And as I was sitting there working on that, the Spirit of God began to hover and brood over me. And God spoke something into my heart, into my spirit. There are people here today and people who will be listening to this message. You feel in your spirit, you feel in your heart, you need to do something. But the Holy Ghost said to me, because of circumstances that will arise, I will do the moving. I will do the relocating. I will do the arranging. You don't have to do anything but trust me and be steadfast in my word, and I will take care of your circumstance. I will take care of your situation. I'll shut a door and no man can open it. I'll open a door and no man can close it, because I am God and I will watch over you. Amen. But you can't be moved in the process. Be still. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Don't do anything without my leadership in your life. Amen. That's why people are so messed up today. I am so sick and tired of people and their drama. It nauseates me at my stomach. There was a time when there was placidity and placidness and peace and people. But you're running around with the wrong, rotten crowd. You've got your ear tuned to the wrong, rotten thing. You need to have an ear to hear what the Spirit of the Lord has to say, that you'll be kept in this nefarious hour that we're living in. Amen. But you spend more time on your MySpace, MyFace, whatever that mess is. Always on the internet, running yourself raggedy, get in this net. The Word of Almighty God, amen? Get in the Word. Let the word get in you, praise God. Jeremiah found himself one time discouraged and one time beleaguered, and he said, I'm tired of preaching the word of God. As a matter of fact, he got somewhat acrimony with God, and he said, God, I'm not going to preach this gospel anymore. You duped me. You deceived me. You didn't tell me how hard this thing was going to be. But you know what he said? I couldn't stay quiet. I couldn't stay still because his word was like fire shut up in my bones, and I had to keep preaching the word of God no matter what I as a person felt like. Amen? You got to keep preaching the word. You got to be steadfast. Jeremiah 23:29 is not my word, like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock into pieces. The first time you hit the rock, it may not crack. The second time, it may not crack, but just keep on. It won't be long. Crumbs. Little bitty stones. Why? Because the word of God is like a hammer that breaks the rock and destroys it. Amen? God's word is like a hammer in your life. Amen? It'll break everything down, whatever Satan's trying to impose against you. But you've got to stay in the word of the Lord. These charlatans, these pretenders, they came to the church at Galatia. What was their purpose? Trying to distort the truth. In Galatians 5:7-8, Paul said, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him who calls you. See, God is perpetually calling us. He doesn't stop. He doesn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't quit. He keeps calling and calling and calling and calling. The clarion call keeps on going out to all men. Do you hear? It's like a beacon. It's like a beeper. You may not know exactly where it is, but because it keeps bing, 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 you can find it. Amen? You can get the truth if you want the truth today. But we live in a generation who doesn't want the truth. We want a liar. We want a pretender. We want a charlatan. Why? Because it makes us feel better. Amen? Church is not about strobe lights, fog machines, choreographed dancing. That's all of the devil. I don't care if they do it in your church. It's of the devil. People say, well, David danced. Yeah, he had a reason to dance. Yes, the Philistines had the Ark of the Covenant. He was grappling to get the Ark back to Jerusalem. They had it on a cart being carried by a bunch of cows. That's not the way you carry the sacred things of God. Amen? He realized you got to get the priest to bear the word of God on their shoulders. And when they had control of the Ark of the Covenant and they were getting close to Jerusalem, the Holy Ghost of God fell upon the man of God. He girded himself and began to dance before the Lord. Why? He said, I've got the blessing. I've got the covenant. I've got the Ark. I've got the power. I've got the anointing of God. And now he's with me. Amen. Somebody praise him in this house this morning. Amen. He said, I've got it. I've got it right. Amen. Got it right. Got it right. Got it right. We've got it wrong, and the church is time to get it right. Amen. Get it right again. We've drifted. We've drifted. When Uzzah reached over to steady the Ark of the Covenant on that cart, God struck him dead. Might help us all to see a few people struck dead in the church today. Wake us up. It's a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God, but we treat God like a toy. We toy with God. We play with God. I get so tired of people I meet. They tell me how much they love God, how much they serve God, what kind of Christians they are. They don't even go to church. They don't never attempt to get to the house of God. You know what I call them? Liars. Liars, and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. You say you're rather hard this morning. Well, God's got a reason, I reckon. Amen? Don't tell me you love God and you stay at home. I'm going to say it again. The worst attended service of this church is the night we pray. By the way, we have church on Wednesday night. I understand if you work, I understand you not being able to come. When you plopped up in that recliner watching television or on the internet, there's something wrong with your heart spiritually, my friend. There's something bad wrong with you. I'm not here because I'm the preacher. I'm here because I love the Lord. You hear me? I'm not here because I'm the pastor. No, no. I'm here because I want to be here. I knew yesterday I'd be here today. Can you say that? Yes, you need to be able to say that. That's why I told my wife yesterday. I said, I just would to God we'd get in there tomorrow and people would just simply worship the Lord. I knew I was going to the house of God. I'm like the psalmist David in Psalms 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Get it right. Get in the house of God and come and worship God in spirit and in truth. Amen. Instead of sitting at home. You're going to be sitting at home when Jesus comes. Amen. Now, they call them apps, right, on your little phones. Catholic Church is putting an app on your iPhone. Now you can make repentance through the iPhone. I don't need no iPhone. iPhone Jesus. Amen? iPhone Jesus. He's always on that royal telephone. Call him anytime. Hallelujah. He'll forgive you of your sins. Amen? Look at this little object. Like one comedian was calling God. He asked him, God, he said, God, you got a MySpace? He said, the universe is MySpace. Amen? God owns it all. He owns it all. But men are coming along to pervert and twist and distort the gospel of our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Matthew 7:15. Many false prophets, that's Matthew 24:11. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Many are rising up right now. What are they doing? They're deceiving the people. They're hucksters. I'm going to flip over to be one of them for just a moment. This 30 of you sitting here today, listening to me, just 30, God's telling you to send me $1,000. This is not for everybody. It's just for the 30. You know what that is a spirit of? Covetousness. And it appeals to the covetousness of people watching them. And so they send the 1,000, because they're covetous, to the man who's coveting their money to get richer, and then they expect God to send them $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000. I believe if I live right and pay my tithes, God will take care of me, period. Amen. Amen. That's the truth. All of you clap your hands and make a joyful noise unto the Lord this morning. Hallelujah. Get it right. I said get it right. Do it God's way and God will bless. Amen. These hucksters. Matthew 7:15. I'll get it right now. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ravenous beast. That's all they are. They're beasts. They're carnivorous. They kill. They steal. They destroy. They do not preach the unmitigated word of God. They pervert. They corrupt the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is repugnant. It is despicable. Somebody sent me a thing about on a YouTube about Creflo Dollar. I call it Cash Flow. Cash Flow Dollar. They had $100 bills lined up on the steps of the altar, and him and another black guy was running up and down across her dancing in the money. That's an abomination. That's an abomination in the eyes of God. I thought God was holy. Holy! 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. They treat God like a circus. Con artist. They pervert the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, And in thy name done many wonderful works. Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Ye that work iniquity. Iniquity is another word for lawlessness. Matthew 24:12, and because iniquity shall abound, because lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Jesus said these men are lawless. They're not controlled by the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. They're controlled by the law of the spirit of lust. Romans 8:1, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and of death. They walk after the flesh. They don't walk after the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will say you're in error. Matthew 22:29, ye do err, not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. When you hear a perverted gospel, it causes you to err. It causes you to err. I hear preachers preach that God's forgiven me of my sins in the past, the present, and the future. Well, two-thirds of that statement is correct. But that last third, future, that's error. Because after you sin, you're a sinner. After you sin and transgress, you become a sinner. How do I get back? If we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Unconfessed sin will take you to hell. Unconfessed sin will take you to hell. Oh, but I serve a different kind of a God, preacher. He's done took care of my future sins. No, he hadn't. That's a lie. That's a perversion. That's why he said, my little children, 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. He said, however, if a man does sin, he says he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. He says, I don't want you to sin, but if you do sin, you have an advocate. You can go to and get on your knees and say, Father, my advocate is Jesus, the Son of the Most High God. Forgive me in his name. And the Bible said, the Father will forgive you and cleanse you of your sin. Amen. We don't confess sin no more. We just cover it up. It's all through the church. It's in the pulpit. It's in the pews. It's in the music department. It's in the youth department. It's in every department. Why? Because we've perverted the gospel. Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. I know this may be a little strong for some of you today, but you'll grow if you keep eating this. You'll mature. You can handle it. I'm just preaching you the word of God. You go to a church where they don't preach any gospel, you don't hear what I'm preaching because they don't preach the gospel. They preach you a perversion. Listen, I know sometimes people say he's a little bit hard. It's high time somebody get hard. Amen. All the mess and the rhetoric and jargon is called church today is sickening. Sickening. We got to get back to holiness. Living godly lives before the Lord. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. I want you to notice the delineation here. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you. 95% of TV radio preachers are called teachers today. They have a teaching ministry. They don't preach like me. They don't let spit balls fly out of their mouth like I do. They don't get lathered up like a horse and sweat run down their brow like it is mine. Why? Because they're so prim and prom and want to be, you know, kind of sissy, if you ask me. Peter called them false prophets. and said, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. These liars are exposed by the news media. Bishop Eddie Long. Oh, Bishop Eddie Long was his name, wasn't it? Who, big mega church down there in Atlanta. His Rolls Royce, his Bentley, his Learjet, but takes pictures of himself in spandex and sends it to teenage boys. Oh, yeah. Sweet. Yeah, sweet. Just telling you the truth. You know I'm telling you the truth. It may embarrass you to hear the truth sometimes, but it's still the truth. It's the truth from God. Somebody wrote me, people call me, email me. They always inundate me when some jerk gets called or doing something crazy. They write me, call me, email me. What do you think? So I go on the radio and I tell them what I think. What I think don't mean anything, but I just tell them what I think anyway sometimes. I said, well, that man's got so much money, he'll probably pay all of those young boys $250,000 apiece. Four of them, I believe it was. That's just $1 million. It'll all be swept under the table. Have you heard anything else about it? I reckon it was swept under the table. $250,000 keep a teenager quiet sometimes, won't it? Uh-huh. And that crowd's in there shouting and dancing. Let me tell you something. The man never one time denied it. It was all over CNN because their headquarters is in Atlanta. Let me tell you something. If you accuse me of being a pedophile or a sodomite, I'm going to look you in the face and I'm going to get real angry and upset. Don't you accuse me of something I'm not. Don't you make accusations against it. He never one time said, I didn't do it. If you didn't do it, you're going to tell somebody, I didn't do it. I'm telling you the truth. But when the truth is not in you, you can't say, I didn't do it. Oh, you can lie. He wasn't even a good liar. He said, here's Goliath, and I'm little old David, but I'm getting my stones together. You better know the God of David instead of taking that name on you in vain is what I'm telling you. Amen? Amen? That's cynical. Listen, that's what's happened to the church. We keep covering it up. Thus, the church becomes more perverted, more perverse. Go back to 2 Peter 2, verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. They speak evil of the word of God. They speak evil of the truth. How do you speak evil of the truth when you say sin is all right? You're speaking evil of the truth. When you're saying, it's okay for me to do this. If you're saying, it's okay for me to do this, and the Bible says it's wrong, you're speaking evil against the truth. That word there, that phrase there that Paul, that Peter used, shall be evil spoken of, disrepute, discredited, disgrace. It's a disgrace what these people do. Now watch this. And through covetousness, what did I just tell you? That spirit of covetousness is in them, and they reach out to people on the pew who also have a spirit of covetousness, and then they too agree, say, this bore witness. Yeah. The witness was covetousness, and the spirit bear record. You both had the same rotten spirit. I had a preacher one time tell me, he said, I thank God he stopped, and I then wrote my multi-$1,000 check. And he said, I got to the post office to send it to Jim Baker when he was down here at Fort Mill at Peace Deal, and something stopped him and said, don't put that in there. Just a matter of weeks, the scandal broke out. See, God saved him all his money. But see, that's an appeal to the carnality. It appeals to the flesh. It's called covetousness. They're eat up with covetousness. They are just enamored with it. Thus, Peter says, and through covetousness, shall they with feign, that word feign there means pretending words, make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. If they live to be 150 years old, that's not a drop in the bucket to time relative to God. Let me share something with you here. That word that they make merchandise of you, that word merchandise there in the Greek speaks of a tradesman at a emporium or at a mart. M-A-R-T. You ever heard of Kmart? Walmart? Famous Mart? It's a place where you go buy. You go and buy things. You don't have to buy anything from God. It's been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. The atonement satisfied sin's debt, and you can have anything you need from God if you're living right in the Holy Ghost. Amen. You don't have to buy it from God. Little old woman, 2 pence, 2 little copper pennies, put them in there. Jesus said she gave more than them all. That's all she had. I believe the Holy Ghost and goodness and mercy walked behind her all the days of her life. She may have been bowed down and bent down and oppressed, but she felt the Holy Ghost. Goodness and mercy, follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You can't put a price on God. You can't buy God. He don't need your money, but you need Jesus, the Son of God, in your life. Amen. Money, streets of gold, walls of jasper, a gate made of one pearl. I'd like to see that oyster. Yeah, I'm going to be like Barney. Andy, this is big. This is real big. Gates of pearl, not pearls. Gates is plural. Pearl is singular. Gates of pearl. God. You going to buy something from God? Let me see if I can find it right quick. We think we can... We can toy, that we can play with God, and that's what's happened to these perverts. That's what they are. That's what Paul called them, perverts. They pervert the gospel. They're perverts in heart and in spirit. Everything about them is like that because that's who they are. Turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Lord, just quicken my mind to that verse because, see, we put value on everything. Well, let me tell you. You could never put a price on Calvary. You can't put a price on a soul. You can't put a price on the things of God. It's impossible. It's absolutely impossible. Isaiah 55, verse 1. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. How am I going to get it, preacher? Just start worshiping the Lord. Just start worshiping the Lord. He says, I don't need your money. I just want to bless you. I just want to pour out of my spirit upon your flesh. That tells me God wants you to have peace and rest in your flesh. You can have peace and rest in your soul and your spirit. But God said, I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I want your flesh to have comfort. I want your flesh to be at peace. I want you to have solace. I want you to have placidity. I want you to have strength. But you don't get it with money because you can't buy me. You worship me and I will bless you and I will give you all that you need. We've gotten away from worshiping God. You know, you didn't have to be good years ago. Singers would get up there and couldn't carry a tune in a bucket. Didn't mean anything. They just loved the Lord. They were just thankful that they were one-time wretched, wasted sinners on their way to hell. But Jesus came by. The Holy Ghost came by, pulled them out of a pornography shop, pulled them out of a bar, pulled them out of the streets of prostitution, of sodomy, homosexuality, pulled them out of lying and stealing, said, I love you, I want to save you, I want to bring you out. He brought them out. They weren't good at what they were doing, but they sure loved God. All you had to do was just get them in the presence of God. They'd begin to sing. They'd begin to shout. They begin to rejoice. They begin to magnify God. Why? Because they realize what God had done for them. We don't do that anymore, church. We forgot what we used to be. We forgot what we used to be. We were on our way to hell. But Jesus, the Son of God, came by and said, I love you. I love you dearly. I don't want you to die and go to hell. He goes out of his way to save people. Why? Because he loves people. And then we have these perverts who come along and distort the truth. They corrupt. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 2:17, for there are many that corrupt the word of God. They corrupt it. I'm so glad I've heard the truth. I'm so glad this morning I've heard the truth. The truth is what set me free. We all err. We all sin. We all miss the mark. But I'm not living to be a sinner. I'm living to be a saint of God and serve my Lord and serve my Savior. Amen. There are times we have all, I said this to a preacher last week, I said there's times we all have been a hypocrite. You weren't where you needed to be with God, but you came to church anyway. You weren't praying like you should have been praying. You weren't reading the Bible like you should be reading the Bible. You were beginning to do things you knew that were wrong, but God didn't abandon you. God didn't give up on you, but he kept on. And again, the Holy Ghost, he'll get a hold of your heart and begin to squeeze your heart and break you down, and you begin to weep, and you begin to cry, and you repent, say, God, I'm sorry that I grieve the Holy Ghost. I'm sorry I grieve the Holy Ghost. And all of a sudden, the joy of the Lord begins to fill your heart and your spirit. You arise again. You say, devil, get behind me in Jesus' name. I'm determined. I'm going, oh, yes, I fell, but I'm going to finish the race. I'm going to finish the course. I'm going to finish by the grace of God. That's what it takes, determination. Let me tell you something. We're going to be bombarded with lies and distortions of truth. It's coming. It's coming like a whirlwind. It's coming quickly. And I'm here to tell you this morning in closing, things are going to soon change. Things are going to change. And God's going to be in the midst of the change. I don't know to the degree or to the extent of the change, but I sense it in my spirit. I know what the Holy Ghost put on me Thursday. That the decisions will be made by God. The process is the work of God, just like Joseph. God put him in a pit. We've all said, God, I'm tired of being in the pit. I'm tired of being in the pit. But the pit was a place of seclusion. To the caravan of Midianites got to where Joseph was, and they sold him into slavery to give him his ride down to Egypt. God's taken some of us somewhere. I don't know where, I don't know how, I don't know the means, I don't know the mode, I don't know the method. But I know what I know in the Holy Ghost. I know what I know in the Spirit of God. That's all I know. But I know when God does it, it's good. It's good. God's will is good. God's will is perfect. Whatever it is, God's in control. You can't get angry with God. All you can do is move with God. In closing, turn with me to Numbers chapter 10. This has been on my heart all morning long. Now's the time to share it. Now is the time to share it. Numbers chapter 10. God is getting ready to move. God is getting ready to move. Numbers chapter 10, verse 33. And they departed from the mount of the Lord 3 days' journey. And the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And the cloud of the Lord was upon them by day and when they went out of the camp. And it came to pass when the ark went forward that Moses said, Rise up, Lord, let thine enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee. And when it rested, he said, Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel. Moses was getting ready to take another journey, another pilgrimage. They were getting ready to move the camp. He said, Rise up, Lord. And I could just visualize in my eyes, mind, God rising up. And David quoted that in Psalm 68:1, let God arise and his enemies be scattered. When God got ready to move the camp of Israel, Moses said, rise up, Lord, with us. And they knew what was going to happen. Every enemy, every emissary, every demon, every power of hell that was in their way, God was going to get it out of the way. They were going to travel in peace. Like the old Greyhound commercial, leave the driving to us. The Lord said, just leave it to me. I'll take care of it. God was going to arise over them. And as God was traveling, God would smite the enemy. God would give them clear and free passage without hindrance. No impediments, nothing to encroach the journey. Then when they got to the next camping site, the glory of God would come right back down again on the tabernacle of God. The glory of God. And the Spirit of God would rest upon the thousands of Israel. There were 12 tribes of Israel, 3 on each side wall of the tabernacle. 4 walls to the tabernacle, 3 tribes, 12. The presence of God would rest again upon the people of God. Moses said upon the thousands of Israel. Why? God got them to where he wanted them to be in this new journey. And then the Spirit of God would come back and rest on the camp of God. If this was an Old Testament tabernacle, we were going to move it. We'd all pack up the building and everything. And the Spirit of God would go before us. And Moses would say, let God arise and the enemies be scattered. They'd be driven away. And they would go on their pilgrimage. And God would say, this is the place to set camp again. They would set camp again and the Spirit of God would come and rest upon the people. Church, I'm here to tell you this morning, God's getting ready to move. God's getting ready to move. And you need to be in a position to flow with the Holy Ghost. Amen?
Friends, the Lord is getting ready to move, and you do need to be in a place, a position, a posture, wherein you can be led by the Holy Ghost. We're living in an hour when it's very needful that we live. We abide in the power and the Spirit of Christ our Lord, because God is so faithful. God bless you. Lord willing, I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Have a great week.
David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.